I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Payne and Pendergast is not here today. Myself, Wade Smith, and Cecil Shorts are filling in for those two guys while they get some R&R. But we have on the Sports Radio 610 hotline right now, calling in Mo Taylor, former Houston Rockets power forward, joining us to talk about the Clint Capella trade. Mo, appreciate you joining us, man. How you doing today, man?
No problem. How you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you coming out, man. So just what was your initial reaction when you probably woke up this morning and saw that Clint Capella was traded to the Atlanta Hawks?
Well, I was actually at the game last night, and I think it happened right after the game. My first reaction was, well, I don't think the Rockets like big people too much. But, I mean, for them, you can tell they're going all out just with their style of play. I mean, Covington fits the mold. He's a, you know, a long, you know, lanky shooter that can defend. Because if you look at some of the lineups that they had out there since Clint Capella has been out, you know, first of all, they're 10-1 without him during the season. So the writing was on the wall at that point. But I think they just want to spread the floor as much as possible. They want to spread the floor. They want to get up as many threes as possible. And they want to be versatile and be able to switch everything on defense. I think Covington helps that. You know, I think it's a huge lack of size for the Rockets, but he kind of fits the mold to, you know, how they're trying to play.
Mo, how tough is it, you being a former power forward, how tough is it for you guys to – I guess, play defense against this small ball lineup? Does it mess with your preparation? Are you worried about it coming to the game? And then one more question for you. When you look at the Lakers and Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee and then the rest of the Western Conference, they got some really good big man. How is that going to match up against those guys?
Well, see, that's the elephant in the room. It's, you know, the Clippers aren't as big. Mm-hmm. You know, if you run into them in the playoffs. Montrezl Harrell is an undersized center, you know, about 6'7". They have a couple of big guys to come off the bench, but they don't play many minutes. But the three-headed monster over there in L.A., you have 3 7-footers that can play, 3 7-footers that can defend. Now, does that combat, you know, the Rocket style of play with spreading the floor and just kind of getting those big fellas away from their comfort zone and having them come out on the floor? That's yet to be seen. But I still think that you have to have some sort of inside presence to be successful. I think that the Lakers are, you know, maybe the favorites to win it this year. And it's not just due to LeBron and AD, but it's due to, you know, a player like Dwight Howard that's coming off the bench and actually playing like a starter. So I do see some bumps in the road with trying to defend bigger guys. You got Jokic over there in Denver. So it's, you know, it's yet to be seen, you know. But I think right now with the way the game is being played, it's harder for those guys to get out there and defend the three-point line. I remember when I was playing, they said I used to shoot too many jumpers. And I'm like, I needed to play in this era. So, it's, you know, it's kind of different now. They used to tell me, you know, get back in there and bang. I'm like, okay. But, you know, it's different now. And the way the game is going, you know, with all the analytical data that they seem to compile to determine how you should play, you know, the three ball is in. But at the same time, you got to defend and rebound too, especially in the playoffs.
Mo, talk to me a little bit about what Robert Covington and Jordan Bell are going to bring to the Houston Rockets.
Well, Jordan Bell, a high-energy guy. You know, he's going to be able to play some spot minutes for you in backup duty. Covington is different because he's your prototypical 3D guy. He's the guy that a lot of these teams want. A, you know, 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", guy that can shoot the three, but that can also defend guys bigger than him. And that's sort of what PJ has right now. You know, PJ is usually stuck defending the guy that's twice the size almost. But Covington is a little, well, not a little, he's a lot better offensively. And he fits the mold. You'll be able to stick him out there. You'll be able to spread the floor with him. You'll be able to, you know, he'll be able to defend. He'll be able to switch the pick and roll onto some of the smaller guards and be able to defend him, or at least, you know, make it hard for him. So, you know, I think he kind of fits. He fits their mold. Covington is the Rockets type of player.
So D'Antoni was talking about it the other day, about kind of mirroring the death lineup from the Golden State Warriors that they've had over the past few years, that's allowed them to win multiple championships. And so when you look at the potential death lineup for the Houston Rockets, you would have Covington, PJ Tucker, Eric Gordon, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden. Now, those five guys together on the court at the same time, what type of problems will they pose to opposing defenses?
Well, the only difference in that death lineup is that, you know, Kevin Durant isn't in it. So I think when people look at Golden State's lineup and try and emulate it, that's all well and good. Don't get me wrong. Golden State had a blueprint that people was trying to copy for, you know, the last 5-6 years. Up until this point, it hasn't worked for any other team than Golden State. But what people don't realize about Golden State is Golden State was always a top 10 defensive team during that time. They were always a top 10 defensive team. And during their championship year, especially the year they won 73 games, they were a top-5 defensive team. So it wasn't all about offense, because Draymond Green didn't give you offense. He gave you the ability to initiate. The difference between Golden State style of play and the Rockets is that Golden State's offense didn't start with the best player. Sometimes it ended with it, but it didn't start with the best player, meaning that Draymond Green was facilitating that offense. He played point guard. So that made that offense harder to guard when you have one of your role players bringing up the ball. Now you have to guard a superstar off the ball on both sides of the floor. See, the difference with the Rockets is their superstars start with the ball and end with the ball. So that's a little different than how Golden State did things. Now, the Rockets shoot it at a higher and better clip, but at the same time, I think the Golden State Warriors, you know, it was a little different, harder to guard, because their superstars just didn't have – you couldn't key in on them sometimes like you can on Harden, with sending double teams and trapping them and stuff like that.
We are joined by Mo Taylor, former power forward for the Houston Rockets. Mo, talk to me about how this is going to benefit Russell Westbrook. He is not a good three-point shooter, but you bring in Covington, who's a guy that can play defense but also shoot the three. You don't have to depend on Russell shooting the three as much as he is now. So talk to us about how does this benefit the offense, bringing in a guy like Robert Covington?
I mean, the thing about Russell Westbrook is Russell Westbrook is a guy that can make threes. He's not a guy that's solely a three-point shooter. So he's just not the type of guy that can just stand and catch and shoot, or nor does he want to. You know, that's just not in, you know, in his mindset, just to stand and catch and shoot. What I think it does is it puts another player on the floor that adds another shooter, and it allows Westbrook to be able to be in attack mode more. It's going to help him because, obviously, it's going to space the floor. I mean, they don't have a big now that can clog everything up. So it's definitely going to help him. I would like to see Westbrook's threes go down and, you know, his attack in the basket go up. And Russell Westbrook is a player that you can't put a style of play on. You can't tell Westbrook, okay, you're going to play our style. We're going to get up these three. He has to be able to pull up mid ranges. He has to be able to post up smaller guards. He has to be able to play his game in order for him to be the best that we've seen, you know, the last few years. You know, I think just sitting him out there, you know, on the wing and you know, waiting for things to come to him is not Russell Westbrook style at all. So I think having Covington out there as another shooter, and it lets Russell Westbrook be able to freestyle a little more.
Mo, based off of what we've seen out of Daryl Morey for years now, do you think that this is the last move that the Rockets are going to make in the next about 30 hours?
Well, with the NBA, you know, you can never tell, because it's, you know, it's a arms race league. So I think before tomorrow's deadline, If we see some other moves in the Western Conference, or if we see, you know, some teams, you know, try and reload, it's possible that it could be another move. But at this point, it's, you know, you have Eric Gordon, who's coming off an injury, who's playing well, who's probably a trade chip if they needed another move. But as of right now, it's not really much that they could move. The question is, what would they be trying to acquire at this point? You got Covington, he adds to your system, but what else are you trying to tweak? You know, is it backup PG? Is it maybe a big to come off the bench? So it really depends on what they're trying to tweak and if they think they have enough.
Mo, Tyson Chandler has been a guy that really hasn't gotten that many minutes since he's joined the Rockets. What type of role do you think he's going to play going forward for the Rockets?
Well, Tyson Chandler is the type of guy to where you'll be able to count on him in the playoffs. I mean, he's one of those guys that's going to have to play big minutes for what we just spoke about, you know, running into the Lakers with those 3 7-footers. I mean, he's a guy that's going to have to play some tough minutes against those teams. So Tyson is a perennial pro. He's a champion. So he's a guy that they can definitely, you know, that they're definitely going to lean on a little bit in the playoffs.
How far do the Rockets go this year? With the moves they made today, potentially another move or two may come. Where do you see the Rockets at end all say all? How far do they go this season?
Oh, man, it put me on the spot. See, that's how we know you guys are football guys. Y'all don't know basketball etiquette.
The hell with some etiquette, man. We want to know.
I want to know the answer.
I mean, for me, you know, I'm a basketball guy. And I just like to look at it from all angles. If the Rockets have good shooting nights, it's going to be trouble for other teams. But the thing about basketball is, let's not get it twisted. Basketball is a game of height. If you guys were 6'9", you guys would have probably been playing basketball instead of football. So it's a game of height. And I still think you need big man presence to win. Threes aren't going to go down all the time. You got to think, the best teams in the league are shooting like what, 38-39% from the three? That means they're only making a third of their shots. So in basketball, to me, I think you need that presence. So with that said, I think they're going to have problems. It depends on the matchup. I think they're a bad matchup for Denver. They'll beat Denver. They're a bad matchup for Dallas. They'll beat Dallas. But when you run into those bigger, when you run into the LA that has huge wing defenders and big fellas they can bring off the bench, when you run into the Lakers that have the 3 7-footers that they can play along with big perimeter players, I think that's gonna kind of be a roadblock for the Rockets, in my opinion. I think they can possibly go, depending on the matchups, semifinals, maybe Western Conference Finals, depending on if they don't have to run into one of those LA teams or Denver too early. But as far as making it to a championship with the roster they have now, you know, I just don't see it.
Mo Taylor, I appreciate you giving us a call. I also appreciate the fact that you got those dishes washed before the interview was over with. Anytime you want.
That was actually me. That was actually me putting coffee in my tumbler.
Oh, okay.
My morning ritual.
Okay.
I can't go on without my coffee.
I got you, man. I appreciate that. Appreciate you calling in. A former Houston Rocket, Mo Taylor, joined us on the show. Thank you very much, man.
All right, no problem. Thanks for having me.
And so, I liked a lot of what he had to say. I like the fact that you put him on the spot to get him to say, like, hey, is this going to be a situation where the Rockets can make a championship run? Like he said, I agree with the fact that the Rockets will be a mismatch problem for a bunch of teams in the playoffs. But when you talk about them matching up against the Clippers or the Lakers, I just don't see it yet. Hopefully there's another move to be made. If they could somehow get Kevon Looney, then I'll be all in on the Rockets. I think that they could make it happen. But as of right now, I don't think they're quite there.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.